So do we know if the... Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Before we begin the official proceedings of the City Council, there's a couple of things that we're going to do. One, we're going to recognize some young people. And secondly, we're going to recognize our veterans, because Veterans Day is next Tuesday, November 11th. But first, we're going to talk to some young people. We've got some young people from Humboldt Grade School, and this is a very special school. This last year, they were awarded as a beacon school in the state, and it's an award of honor and excellence in education. They've been working very hard and have done some amazing things, and one of the amazing things they've done is that they've elected their council, the student council, much like our city council. And so I'm going to ask the council to come up, or some of the following folks: Angelicia Frierson, Curtis Waters, Tabitha Stump, and Amitai Bravio Chavez. Everybody up here? Good. Okay, now whoever wants to speak, go ahead and you can speak. When you speak, if you'd point the microphone towards you so everybody could hear what you're saying. So, who wants to start?
I will.
Okay, and introduce yourself when you speak.
My name is Angelicia. Okay. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today? My name is Angelicia Frierson. I'm running for school president. I was born a leader. So I'm experienced with leading groups, discussions, debates, various types of situations in proper manners. I'm that loving child that everyone loves and appreciates, always setting an example. I'm a role model to younger children. As for being a role model, I will take this role as president to let my potential shine, show everyone what I can do, who I truly am, and what I stand for. I'm not going to take this role as president and promise something I can't make happen. Me being president, I will strive to make things happen. Like, for instance, 6th through 8th would like more school dances, something I will strive to make happen. My attention is always focused on, isn't only focused on 6th through 8th. I just really have a better view of it. The issues, concerns, changes wanted by all grades, I will work to make it happen. Truthfully, my overall goal is to change the opinions of what people outside our school believe. We have to work together on all of this to do good together. Let's conquer evil together. I know with the big job come big responsibilities. Period, point blank, I am the right candidate. Throw anything at me, I will work hard to make it happen. No slacking on my part. My qualities are extraordinary characteristics. My personality is not the same as others. I'm one of a kind. I'm responsible, respectful, and safe. I'm a natural athlete, very talented, trustworthy, real. There's very many words to describe me. Most important, I'm confident, I support others. I don't care of other people's opinions of me. They can love me or hate me. I will not let it break me. I will shine. I am a star, as you all are. My parents, my voices for speeches, announcements, presentations. Everybody dreams big. Big things will happen. My attitude is to strive for you. It's tattooed permanent. All the qualities I have explained to you are all what I stand for. Rigor, relevance, relentlessness, and respect. That's me. I stand for all of you guys. I'm a great candidate. Along with that, do not vote for me because I'm popular, so-called, or your favorite student or your friend. Vote for me because I'm a leader and you believe that I will take this role and fulfill it. Plus, when you have a chance to make a change, take it. Don't take it for granted. Thanks. Vote Angelicia for president.
Hi, my name is Curtis Waters. I'm in 7th grade, and I'm running for vice president of Humboldt School. I'm proud to be a Humboldt student because we get to become leaders of our school. Here are many things I would do on my role as vice president. I want to make a better lunch choice for people who are vegetarian. I also want to help the school by having a student store to fundraise money for our sports activities. I want to be on student council because it will give me the opportunity to take a role in school. I want to help kids who are not learning properly to be tutored or pulled aside with more help. What makes me a great candidate is that I love to help people. I always come to school with a smile on my face, even when I'm sad inside. Some open skills I have are that I'm open-minded and I love to learn about new things. Some personality traits that I have are I love school and I want to go to Stanford like my auntie. Some interests I have are that I love to do a lot of science, math, reading, and writing, and these skills would be great for the job. I hope to fix the school garden because my class has some great ideas for the garden and I want to get them out there. I also want to have more dances and night activities like math nights and more. I will have the Be Safe, Respectful, and Responsible rules displayed in the school hallways for the younger kids and older students and adults who forget or don't know. I also want to have another great assembly, which stands for Gang Resistance Education and Training, because great is great. I also would like to say thank you and have a great day. Here.
My name's Tabitha Stumpf. I believe that I should be elected vice president of this school. I will be your voice. If you want something to change, I will try to make that happen. If you're having trouble with a classmate, you can come to me and we will solve the problem together. Nobody else has to know. If you're having trouble with schoolwork, I can help you with that too. No matter what subject it is, I will find a way to help. I want this school to be a fun school that is welcome to everyone. That is why I think I am what this school needs. Thank you very much for your support.
My name is Amitai. I am proud to be a humble student because I get good grades that every year I succeed more and more. As humble secretary, I would make a car wash to earn money to get a better playground, to get more basketballs and soccer and all different types of recess equipments, and also get better jerseys for humble teams. I would be a good match for the job because I am organized, a good thinker, and a good role model. Why I would like to be a secretary. I would like to be secretary to make the school more exciting, to convince students from all over Oregon to come to Humboldt School. What I hope to make Humboldt a better place for all students is making recess funner for all students by adding different activities like adding swings to our playground. By ending this speech, I would continue humble students being safe, respectful, and responsible is by making tickets for the teacher so when a teacher sees a student doing the right thing, the student will earn one. For example, a student is walking in the hallway with a couple of other students in the right side of the hall on the third square. They will earn one and conserve them so at the end of the month, there will be a drawing in morning assembly and get cool prizes. Thank you for giving me some of your time and thank you for all of you that will vote for me.
Now, did I understand it that you had your election yesterday?
Yes.
How'd it turn out?
It turned out great.
Well, I think I know who won then. Well, very good. Could the rest of the students from Humboldt please stand up, too, so we can recognize you? And you're the teacher?
I'm the school counselor.
School counselor. What's your name?
Story Robinson.
Well, thank you very much for bringing these young people down. Thank you so much. And someday maybe you'll be sitting up here and giving a similar speech.
Good job.
Good job. Thank you. You guys did a great job.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You can stay if you wish, but if you need to get back, that's fine. We understand. Okay, good. Well, the next, we're going to be issuing a proclamation for Veterans Day, and that this came as a request from the DEEP, which is the city's diversity employees group that reminds us from time to time some of the things that the city could do better. And in this particular case, DEEP wanted to honor our veterans. And so today we have some veterans with us. And could you folks come forward? I'm not sure exactly who's going to be doing the talking, but whoever wants to is just fine. If you want to pull up another chair, and after they complete their part, then we all read the proclamation for Veterans Day. So please proceed and introduce yourself when you speak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm Carl Harn.
I'm Hank McDonald with Bureau of Development Services.
Mikhail Shabazz, Bureau of Development Services.
Mick Mickles, Bureau of Development Services.
Teresa Coombe, Portland Parks and Recreation.
Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, thank you for your support of your Veterans Day and your Veterans Day proclamation, a day to express our gratitude to our veterans and citizens serving the United States military. I'd like to introduce Mikhail Shabazz, co-chair of DEEP, the Diversity and Power Employees of Portland, recipient of this year's annual Diversity Champion Individual Award, and the Bureau of Development Services Public Information Officer and Diversity Community Liaison.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you very much for inviting us to be here today. And thank you very much as well for the opportunity that you have provided us through allowing us to establish DEEP, Diverse and Empowered Employees of Portland, as an institution in the city of Portland. And the presentation today will be by one of the affinity groups. The affinity groups have started, and they're doing very well. And we want to thank the council and the mayor for your support, because we know without the head, the body has very little chance of living. So again, thank you very much. And at this time, I would like to turn this proceeding back over to Mr. Carl Harn.
And with your permission, sirs, we would like to present you with a Veterans Honor Thank You card and an appreciation pin. My colleagues, if you'd bring that forward to them right now. Our intent is that you wear the pin to show appreciation of the sacrifices of the veterans that they have made, and that you hand the card off as a thank you to honor a veteran you know. The front of the card says, Veterans Day, November 11th. Veterans, we honor you. Thank you for your service to our community. The back of the card says, recognition and thanks for your service from a grateful city, City of Portland, Oregon, Bureau of Development Services, and DEEP. The idea is that by November 11th, we'll have made quite an impression in the city with these. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And before you leave, I want to... Hank, I believe you served two tours of duty in Iraq.
I've been gone for two tours of duty, one in Iraq and one in Afghanistan.
One in Afghanistan, so very recently too. You just came back in the
last
year.
I got back from Afghanistan in June of 2007.
2007. So anybody else that has been active like that? So thank you, Hank, for your service.
Yes. Well, thank you, and I can't express my sincerest appreciation for the amount of support and the amount of thanks that I have received, you know, for the time that I was gone. I mean, truly, of all the places I've been and all the profession, in my profession, this is the most supportive organization that I have ever had the pleasure of being a part of.
And we really, we value Hank a lot. He's one of our recently appointed managers, senior managers at the Bureau of Development Services. He does an outstanding job, so thank you.
Randy, if I could just add something, I had the pleasure of working with you the other day with Commissioner Leonard. As the housing commissioner, I am charged with dealing with another face of the veterans movement, which is the veterans who served our country but are currently homeless. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you for your service, but also ask for your help as we tackle that problem.
You have it.
And I have come to this issue later in life. I have only in my current capacity even confronted some of the statistics that you know so well, that over 150,000 people who served our country now don't have a place to call home.
That's correct.
That the recently completed vulnerability index that the city of Portland did determined that one quarter of the most medically vulnerable people who live on the streets of our city are veterans. And of those individuals, only 5% are currently receiving benefits from the VA. that they are statutorily entitled to. So as we celebrate your service to our country, we also have to deal with the paradox that people who were willing to sacrifice their life abroad are at risk of dying on our streets, and that's a national disgrace. So I will be asking for your help as we, as a council, move forward on the commitment we've made to build housing in South Waterfront, to get the Veterans Administration to shape up and make sure that people who deserve services get them, that we take the most medically vulnerable people off the street and give them immediate housing, and that as a council we continue to find ways of truly honoring people who've made the sacrifice and have defended us. And I would hope that someday we would not be in this current situation where we, I mean, today we can actually literally say, based on the vulnerability index, that there are some people who are at greater risk as veterans of dying on our streets than in a foreign battle. And that is shameful. So thank you for the example that you set for the rest of us. And I would ask for your continued help as we address the needs of some of the veterans who aren't so fortunate.
Thank you.
And I have a proclamation to read. Whereas the security and freedoms we enjoy in this city and country have been assured because our military endures hardship and danger on behalf of all of us. And whereas military members who serve in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and Reserves exemplify honor and duty in keeping us safe and free. And whereas our military reservists serve in areas of conflict and strife, both at home and abroad, to protect us during times of natural and man-made disasters. Whereas the families of those who have served and currently serve in this country military endure loneliness, increased responsibility, anxiety, and grief of loss. And whereas wounded military members and veterans returning home are to be honored for their selfless sacrifice and determination. And whereas those who support our military members and families provide encouragement, comfort, and assistance to ease their burdens. Now, therefore, I, Tom Potter, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim Veterans Day, November 11th, 2008, to be a day of appreciation and gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving in the United States military. And I encourage all the people of Portland to observe this day. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is the original proclamation. I hope people will see Tuesday is a holiday for all city employees, but I encourage you to come out to the Hollywood District where we celebrate a parade to honor the veterans. Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Potter?
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 1477, request of Peter Fournier to address council regarding recycling theft.
Good morning, Mayor, Councilman.
Good morning. Please state your name, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Peter Fournier, and my address is 3316 Southeast Ankeny Street. I'm here today to address a problem being faced by the residents of every neighborhood in the city, and that's recycling theft. Besides its nuisance value, often waking sleeping neighbors with the sound of clinking bottles and barking dogs in the middle of the night, it also provides opportunities for more serious crimes. It brings individuals from outside our neighborhoods to our homes, often while we're asleep or at work. This gives the thieves an excellent opportunity to identify additional targets for theft and burglary. I have observed many individuals casing homes and cars as they sift through the blue carts and yellow bins set out in front of homes. It also supports and enables alcoholism and addiction. I've observed the individuals who are taking recycling from acquisition to the local grocery store where they redeem them for cash to the subsequent purchase of alcohol, often at the same store, to the drug transactions, which occur later in other locations. Other major cities have recognized these problems and some of them have laws on the books now criminalizing recycling theft and also criminalizing the use of grocery carts, which are stolen and utilized as the primary mode of transporting these stolen goods. It is a crime of opportunity. We're all urged to set our recycling out at the curb. In fact, we're required to. This becomes an opportunity for recycling theft because every day on the same day, every week, our recycling is set out. So it really becomes a crime of opportunity. We all pay a heavy price for this crime. The money that the city's franchise haulers make on the cans and bottles helps defray the cost of collection. Without this money, we ultimately pay higher rates. So we're getting ripped off twice. Along with this loss of revenue comes the frustration for homeowners of watching their efforts go to feed addiction and alcoholism. So since our time is being wasted, we're being ripped off three times. The individuals that take our recycling are mostly homeless, although there are many reports of individuals and small groups with vehicles making larger hauls. And I think if you read the articles I provided you, you'll see where we're headed. We're headed the same place San Francisco, New York, and other large cities are headed. I have a lot more to say on this issue. Obviously, I have 3 minutes to talk. But I'd like to suggest that you all take a look at both the articles that I've provided you, and I can also provide some model ordinances from other municipalities that might help the council and the mayor's office address this issue.
Mr. Fournier, I have a question if I could.
Yes.
I live in the Grant Park neighborhood, and there's a gentleman who for a number of years, when the recycling's put out, who comes by with a shopping cart.
Right.
And he removes cans and glass bottles, which I understand he then takes down to the Fred Meyer and gets the deposits on those things. He's gone through our recycling on a regular basis. He's never left a mess. He comes early in the morning. He's extremely respectful to people that he comes into contact with. And I'm just curious, I've never really thought about it in the way that you've framed it. What is your view of the harm of that activity?
Well, the harm is, number one, is what is he using the money for? Typically, these chronic homeless individuals are receiving services from the missions, food, shelter, a little bit of medical care, et cetera. The money, from my observations, is going towards alcohol and drugs. And I think that we're supporting them in their addictions. We're enabling them when we should be working to help them get clean and sober and get back in the job market. So it's just contributing to the chronic homeless problem.
Let me just say, as the housing commissioner for the city, and I respect your right to come and advocate on behalf of anything, but I think to say that, based on your impression, that you believe that we're supporting people's addictions is playing to a dangerous stereotype. And I can tell you, based on the services we provide to an array of homeless individuals in our community, that would not necessarily represent the larger group.
I agree with you. It represents a small minority of chronic homeless who call these cans and bottles in order to feed their addictions. And I have, this is not based on anecdotal information. I have done a great deal of time, spent a lot of time following these people, seeing where they spend their money. And I can tell you that the individuals that are taking the recycling are, in fact, using it for drugs and alcohol. They're not using it to buy food. Also, it takes money out of my pocket because without the offset that those cans and bottles provide the haulers, my garbage rates go up. Additionally, it jeopardizes the Metro Recycling Program because without those materials, the program does not function at the level it should be.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Let's call the next.
Item 1478, request of Roger P. Gron to address council regarding Water Bureau construction policies and costs.
Thank you for being here. When you speak, state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Roger Gron, 23287 LaSalle, Sherwood. Instead of Water Bureau policies, I want to talk about the general policies all. I'm a builder of affordable homes, building an apartment project in here in town. We build low-cost housing, essentially. We seem to be able to do this for about $75,000 a unit. I noted that the city's low-cost housing project is about $250,000 a unit, but that's about in line with the 3-to-1 ratios that I see throughout the policies. I see policies that are designed with attitudes and by people who have obstructiveness in their as some of their goals, and which are primarily, however, designed solely to generate revenue and no other thing, just to generate jobs and empires, as far as we can tell. PDC, for example, I'm going to come back many times. Once a month, I think I'm allowed, and we'll take them apart one at a time. PDC policies that are so untenable and so unrealistic that my lender refused to participate in the project if I agreed to any of their conditions. I'm in the Lentz Urban Renewal District, by the way. Water Bureau policies that cost 3 times what the market rate is for my private industry to do the thing, and we have no options but to do this. Commissioner Leonard's office has said there's nothing they can do about that. PDOT policies, where the fee is about 15% of a projected cost for the policy. However, the actual cost, because I rebuilt the entire street, was 1/3 of that. BDS plan reviews, which netted 2 small corrections, which were redlined on the plans, promised in 8 to 10 weeks, but it actually delivered in 11 months. Thousands of dollars spent by BDS personnel for requirements which, had they read their own notes or even reviewed their own policies or reviewed the plans, would have realized were not, in fact, required at all. Anybody, I would urge anybody, any of my contemporaries who want to try to come to Portland and build especially affordable-type housing, come and talk to me, because anybody that wants to attempt to do what I did, their actions, in my view, would border on stupid, not just foolish. I shall return, as one man once said. Thank you.
So, Mr. Gron, since we're going to have a long-term relationship, I think it's important, particularly since you've indicated that my office said we couldn't help you, that I make the record really clear. Not only did my office not tell you that, we did help you. You've met with my chief of staff a number of times. We've had you meet with the assistant chief engineer of the Water Bureau, and in fact, have reduced your fees substantially from what they would otherwise be. You've gotten a lot of personal attention, and we'll continue to get that. But I think it's unfair for you to suggest the things you have about the employees who have, and I've asked for a written assessment of what happened with you, who, in my view, have bent over backwards to accommodate you at every turn.
Excuse me, sir, that's not quite correct. The fees were reduced by $1,300 from $19,000 to $18,000. The reduction in fees that exist today are because I came back with a new idea and said, how much would it be if we did this and this and this? And those are my ideas. They're not your office's ideas at all.
And that's, you're right. You asked if you could put in 2 services instead of 1, and what I have here is the fee was reduced $13,000, not $1,300.
That's correct, but that's my thinking, not your office's thinking.
Well, we listen and we accommodate you. So I just think it's unfair of you to say the things that you are about the employees that have worked with you.
The record stands for itself, sir.
Thank you, sir. I want to thank the Humboldt students. Thank you for being here. Congratulations on your election. And does any of the council members know what the mascot is of the Humboldt Grade School? I bet you can't guess.
If you have to ask in a public
meeting. I don't have to ask. I know.
Nice.
A bulldog.
Nope. You tell them who what the mascot is.
Humboldt Penguin.
Penguin.
Right.
Penguin.
All
right.
A mighty fighting penguin.
I like that. The fighting penguins.
Okay.
Thank you.
We can move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Does any member of this audience wish to pull any particular item from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Move to the regular agenda. Please read items 1498 and 1499 together.
1498, adopt and implement the North Pearl District Plan. 1499 adopt the action charts and additional implementing measures of the North Pearl District Plan.
Troy, could you come forward and explain what we have to do this morning?
Good morning, Mayor, Council. What we have before you today is the second reading for the North Pearl District Plan. As you may recall, last week, I think we resolved all the potential amendments that were before Council. And so today we have an ordinance and findings that adopt the plan itself, the zoning amendments, the update to the River District design guidelines, as well as the transportation analysis conducted by PDOT. And then through resolution, we're adopting the objectives and the action charts of the plan itself.
Is there any additional, do we have to have an amendment for anything?
No, there is no additional amendments to the plan.
Okay, I thought there was.
Mayor, if I could just say this, this is in the stranger than fiction category. I was at a University of Portland women's soccer game last Sunday, and someone who was there came up to me and said that they were a regular watcher of Channel 30. And after telling them I thought they needed to get some professional help, we then went to the issue of what they had watched, and they said they had watched the North Portland Pearl North Pearl plan hearing that we had, and specifically said they thought the presentation from the staff was very well done. So I wanted to share that with you.
Commissioner, are you aware that Mayor Katz watches these on a regular basis? What would be your advice to her?
Good luck in her new job.
Okay.
Anyway, I was very proud of that, so I wanted to share that.
Thank you.
Please read, please call the vote on item 1498.
Adams?
Here. Or yes.
Fish?
I.
Barely here.
Leonard?
Here. Jeez. Aye.
Jeez. You know, this right wing of the council.
Yeah.
We're out too late last night.
I think so.
Saltzman.
Well, I said it last week. I just want to say it again. This North Pearl plan is a real bellwether of how to do a plan, a community plan that speaks to constructing more family-friendly units and other amenities that are essential to families prospering and raising kids in an inner city area. And this plan has a lot of good things in it related to energy conservation, land use, and family-friendly policies. So I want to congratulate once again Troy and Mauricio for doing great work here and for the community. This is an example. This will be the standard by which we'll measure all other plans that come before us. Please to vote aye.
Potter.
And I agree with Commissioner Salzman. You folks did a great job. Really appreciate how you brought the community together, and that I think it was through that strength that really that this plan was developed, and so I really appreciate that and continue to do that kind of work in the future. I vote aye. Please read item 1499.
Adopt the action charts and additional implementing measures of the North Pearl District Plan.
Please call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Thank you, Troy. Mauricio. Please read item 1500.
Authorize application to the Department of Homeland Security for a grant in the amount of $9,681.10 to plan for chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosive events through training and equipping first responders.
Is anyone from POEM here? This is money that comes through the UASI grant, and it's provided. Portland handles the financial part of the grant, but it's actually for all 51 jurisdictions in the UASI area, and that this is the authority then to request that amount of money. Doesn't mean that we'll necessarily get that, but it does require us to submit an application and the council to approve that application. If you folks would like further information, I'll get someone from POEM here. If that's sufficient, then we can proceed. Please call the vote. No, excuse me, is there anyone here to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak to this specific issue? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Please read item 1501.
Authorize a letter of agreement with the Portland Firefighters Association to pay firefighter Paul Cora at the staff lieutenant pay rate for the duration of his assignment as Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Liaison.
Is there someone from OMF? You know, we don't seem to be doing well this morning.
We do. We actually have Paul Cora.
Paul Cora.
Yes, OMF is supposed to explain this. I don't know that it's appropriate for Paul to have to explain this himself, unless you wish to, Paul.
Well, I happen to think that Paul's quite a bargain if all we're having to pay him is staff lieutenant's pay.
So. Mayor, it's my understanding that this corrects a mistake that was made. The position of serving on the liaison position was advertised by the city, apparently, at the staff lieutenant rate. While there may have been a technical overpayment, Mr. Porra would have a very strong argument that he was paid at the rate that the city advertised and that it was the city's error. This provides that he will be paid at the rate that the city advertised, but that in the future the liaison person will be paid at their then current rate as a firefighter. So and I've just been briefed by Kyle on this, but my understanding is it cures a technical problem, results in fairness for Mr. Cora, but make sure that in the future that the liaison position, the person occupying the liaison position to the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund is paid at his or her current rate. And I, based on the briefing I got, I would urge the council to adopt this.
And this is one of those issues that was brought out through the development of the EBS system. They've been uncovering some of these, and we dealt with some of them last week, and this is another one. Is there any council discussion? Do we have anybody signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
This, to me, appears to be a reasonable resolution of a dispute. And separate and apart from the legal issues in this matter, and since Paul's here, I want to thank Paul for the leadership that he's shown as a member of the Campbell Memorial Fund Foundation Board and the work that he's doing with the city to prepare for 2011. Aye.
Leonard.
And definitely Paul's an outstanding member. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
And I'd like to thank Paul your time on. I served with you on the old FPDNR board, and appreciate your involvement. I vote aye. Please read item 1502.
Adopt a waste reduction program and enter into an intergovernmental agreement with Metro to receive Metro Waste Reduction Challenge funds of $256,755 in fiscal year 2008-09.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Metro provides local governments with annual challenge grants to support ongoing efforts to reduce waste and to increase recycling. This is the 19th year that Portland will receive grant funding of roughly $257,000 for its programs. This funding is critical to the work that the Office of Sustainable Development does to reach higher recycling goals and continue its work with residents and businesses on waste prevention. I urge adoption.
Is there anyone signed to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this one.
Any council discussion? It's emergency, call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Read item 1503.
Authorize acquisition of approximately 4 acres of property in the Gateway Regional Center Urban Renewal District in accordance with an intergovernmental agreement with the Portland Development Commission.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very, very excited today to bring this item to council, as it's been in the development for a long time. And it's always a cause to celebrate when we're acquiring more land for future parks. Many of you may know this parcel that we're buying. If you've ever gone to the Gateway Area Business Association and to their meetings at the J.J. North Buffet, this property is the site of the former J.J. North Buffet, which went out of business, I believe, earlier this year. So that's kind of the marquee to let you know where this site is. It is inside the Lentz Urban Renewal Area. I'm sorry, Gateway Urban Renewal Area. And PDC and Parks have been working to acquire this roughly a 4-acre parcel, as I said, for a long time. This is proposed acquisition of
3 acres, totaling about 4 acres, and it will help achieve what's been identified in the Gateway Area Plan as highly needed is land for parks. This transaction is a willing seller and willing buyer process, with the final purchase price to be supported by a city-approved appraisal and by the city's staff's expertise with historical property values in this area. So even in this uncertain economic climate, developable parkland of significant size is scarce, and no reasonable substitutes have been found. So I urge councils to adopt this ordinance immediately. We have Steve Planchin from Parks here, and Justin Douglas from PDC, and Linda Robinson also is here from the East Portland Parks. I think maybe Linda will testify afterwards. And before I turn it over to them, I just want to disclose I do have a family connection on this item. One of the tax lots, totaling about 1.43 acres, is owned by my first cousin, Brad Fischel. I have no economic interest in the property, nor does my immediate family. I have not discussed this potential transaction or ordinance with my cousin, other than he did inform me of his ownership of some property that was under discussion for acquisition. So with that, I'll turn it over to Steve.
Yes, I'm Steve Planchon, property manager with Parks, and Justin Douglas and I are going to tag team this very briefly. The ordinance is, as was described, two parts, to approve the IGA, intergovernmental agreement between Parks and PDC for the acquisition of the property, negotiations and acquisition, and then also to go forward and negotiate. Justin's going to talk about the property highlights.
Mr. Mayor and members of council, I'd just like to say how honored I am to be here today on a truly historic day for Gateway. This is something that I've been looking forward to for several years, and I know that the people in Gateway, some of whom are going to testify today, have been working towards this for more than a decade. As you probably know, Gateway has long been identified as a park-deficient neighborhood. Indeed, in the Coalition for Livable Futures acclaimed Regional Equity Atlas, they found that 3 of the city's 10 neighborhoods, quote, with above-average poverty or people of color and poor access to nature, end quote, fall within the Gateway URA urban renewal area, and those are Hazelwood, Mill Park, and Park Rose Heights neighborhoods. Acquisition of property in Gateway for a park has been a priority since the urban renewal plan was adopted in 2001, and we have not been able to add a single acre of public parkland since that time. This site is not only in an excellent location, it's abutted by a commercial corridor, the Halsey-Weiler couplet, but also a residential neighborhood, and is very unusual for its large size. There are very few, if any, comparable opportunities in Gateway due to the nature of property ownership. We've got a few large properties and very many small ones, but few of this size. I'd like to say that if the transaction is not completed and one or both of the sellers or the owners sell their property, this is a unique assemblage opportunity that would be lost to the city. And finally, I'd just like to say that this, our long-term goals, I think that PDC and Parks share one, and that is that this will become a signature public square open space park with supporting and complementary redevelopment.
I wanted to stress that we have a couple other parts here. The negotiations are ongoing. As you'll see in your packet, the purchase price that was offered at the time based upon the estimate of value of staff was $4.6 million. The appraisal came in at $3.7 million. We've noticed some deficiencies in the appraisal, one specifically being that some open space requirements that the appraiser assumed would apply to the property in the future most likely won't. So we're actively negotiating to close that gap, and we're going to do a good job of doing that.
That was the question I wanted to pose, because obviously whenever we can add parkland, it's a cause for celebration, and 4 acres is about the size of the Jerome Sears site in Southwest, so it's familiar with that, and that's a large chunk of land. But could you help us understand why the city would pay above an appraised value for a property? I mean, like in this circumstance, why would we pay even 10 or 12% above an appraised value?
Well, we won't. What we're looking at here is the appraisal. The initial appraisal that came in was $3.7 million. And what we're going to do is look at the appraisal to determine whether or not it's correct. And we've identified some problems with it already that will most likely bring the appraised estimate of value higher. And what we'll do is negotiate a purchase price that is at that price. That's our intention.
Okay. That's important because I think the ordinance reads that the original PDC offered purchase price was 4.6 as against an appraised value of 3.7. So that's a 24% gap.
Right.
My understanding from my colleague Hannah Kuhn is that's been reduced, but it's your intent to negotiate a purchase price that is in line with what you think is an accurate and supportable appraised price.
Yes, the appraisal will most likely be revised. We'll ask the appraiser to look at the beginning assumptions to determine whether or not they are correct, and you've done that to an extent. PDC has. PDC is the lead on the appraisal process. At that time, when we have a number that we feel is supportable by a valid appraisal, we're going to attempt to get the purchase at that price. And what the ordinance does is authorize us to do it once the commissioner is satisfied we have done that.
And let me just say, Steve, what gives me a little heartburn when you say that is normally we take appraisals and we try to get the price lower to make sure the public benefit is enhanced. Here, I mean, when you're saying to an appraiser, we want you to reconsider and lift the price, does that cause you a little heartburn?
Well, appraisals, we've been doing this for a long time, and appraisals, there's no science to it. They're subjective. They do the best they can to getting at what they think is the right price. Five appraisers sometimes come in with different outcomes. And so what we're looking at is asking the appraiser, because this is a city appraisal. The owners haven't done an appraisal. And what we need to do is make a good faith offer to work with the owners to make them comfortable that the appraisal is credible and supportable. It could be that we need to have another appraiser come in and look at the appraisal, an independent appraiser that's separate from the first appraisal. We haven't made that decision yet. But you're correct. We want to make sure that it's a price that can be substantiated by an appraisal. Now, having said that, these are difficult times to appraise property if we're looking at current circumstances. And this appraisal was done before the financial meltdown. So that throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into it.
So what's the downside of just getting another appraisal?
No downside.
So let's just get another appraisal that's based on accurate assumptions.
We've already ordered a revised appraisal to look at a couple of the assumptions that they made. There are a couple of dedication issues in particular that drove the cost of this to what the 3.7 figure. We alerted them to the fact that I believe that council will be having a hearing shortly on the Gateway Open Area Code. Planning Commission has already approved changes to the Open Area Code such that it will no longer apply to sites of this size, but sites 5 acres and larger. So we've asked the appraiser to account for those code changes and what that would mean for the fair market value.
And in the valuation process, that's very, very significant. That in the old appraisal would change the price by about $500,000 upwards. And in the appraisal process, that would be called an extraordinary assumption that we would have to clearly determine was a reasonable assumption and would most likely turn out to be the truth at the end of the day.
Who makes the decision on this?
In terms of the extraordinary assumption?
Sorry, who makes the decision on whether we'll buy it at a particular price?
Well, you do.
I do. I would make it and then bring it to council.
Oh, okay. So it comes back to council.
Well, the way the ordinance is drafted at this point, it doesn't. We're trying to close the transaction by December 30th. And so the way the ordinance is drafted is that if you feel comfortable that we're going to do the right thing in getting a price that is supported by a good appraisal, then if the commissioner is fully satisfied that we've done that, and you've got all the facts in front of you except for that, then he has the authority to transfer the funds, the park funds, into escrow, and then PDC will transfer their funds and we'll close the deal. How it's currently drafted.
I don't have that kind of signature authority in my bureaus. My preference would be that it comes back and that you get a new appraisal. And I think that way we'll feel assured that, I mean, I want the city to get this parcel of land, but I also want to be prudent. And I think that it helps you negotiate a price if the sellers know that they have to come back to the city council in an open hearing. So that would be my preference. I don't know what other folks feel on the council.
I agree.
I agree.
That's a
Will do.
I did want to point out one thing that you mentioned, that this would be the first addition of open space for the Gateway Hazelwood area. I'm sure the Water Bureau folks that are watching this are displeased, because they have spent a considerable amount of money and time developing the Hazelwood Park on 117th, just 11 blocks up the street, including paving a street and putting in sidewalks and putting in bioswales, building a track or a walking path, and they're in the process of constructing a community garden there as well. So, and
you've agreed. If I misspoke, that I was speaking about properties within the urban renewal area boundary, and that actually falls outside. But you're right, that's a wonderful facility.
I looked at the map, and it falls just outside, but it is in the Hazelwood Gateway community, notwithstanding that it's outside the URA.
Shame on you, Justin. Shame on
you. And it's 5 acres of open space.
So in terms of a new appraisal, that is from scratch, it would seem as if in this current climate that property prices will probably decline somewhat, so that a new one, rather than amending a particular point or two in the existing one, I think would perhaps do the city better.
Yeah, and I would agree with that in terms of, from the point of view of looking at a piece of property and determining how to get the best price. That's the approach we should take. We've talked about this quite a bit ourselves internally. The downside risk, of course, is that what the property owners could do is decide that they don't want to sell at that price. They'll hold it for a while, thinking that it'll turn up, the economy will turn up, and they'll settle at a later date, and their rate of return will be better. That's the risk.
And that's why I think we should come back and have that conversation. So it's a question of having the information in front of us, and I think this is a key piece of property, but I'd like to a current appraisal and have that discussion.
And by the way, while that I think is a plausible risk, my sense from talking to some folks in Gateway just about the movement of properties generally is that the fact that we are a buyer that can actually close a transaction with some confidence,
yes,
gives us, I think, an advantage over lots of other folks out there that might be buying. I mean, if we sign the dotted line, we're going to close. That's not necessarily the case with lots of other transactions right now.
Okay,
Thank you, folks.
So are you going to pull
back an independent appraisal?
Do we then pull this back? This is an emergency ordinance to your office.
Yes, I guess we would return this to my office.
Is that the best way to keep it on track? Knowing that we've just thrown you off track.
We have to amend it, and I don't know if we can amend it at this stage.
Because of the...
Oh, yeah. We should.
Well, it may or may not. I don't know it.
I know we have some people here to testify. Why don't
we'll hear the
figure that out? And by the time we hear the testimony, we'll figure out exactly what the proper approach is here.
Thank you.
Notwithstanding the price issue, you know, thanks for your great work. I mean, this is very... I think we're excited.
Who signed up to testify?
Steve and Justin, maybe. You could talk to Matt over there.
Pardon?
Yeah, if we can move it forward today, that'd be great.
Three people. Could you call the three up?
Okay. Well, Alicia Reese, Jackie Putnam, and Linda Robinson.
Thanks for being here, folks.
Thank you.
When you speak, state your name. You each have 3 minutes. Anybody can start.
Alicia Reese, Chair of Woodland Park. As Chair of the Woodland Park neighborhood, I'm routinely reminded that Woodland Park has no park. In fact, Woodland Park has no nearby park of any kind. As the accessible neighborhood on the cusp of mass transit access, bicycle and pedestrian designs, and the emergence of Gateway as the premier regional center for the city of Portland, I am hard-pressed to cite available open and green spaces within my neighborhood. Portland City Council has a unique opportunity to support both the density of design and the amenities of livability in the planning and execution. While the proposal before you today is not a sweeping remedy for park deficient East Portland, it is a start. And we are asking for simply a start for Gateway, a start for East Portland, and a start for Woodland Park, within walking distance to a park for the very first time. Thank you.
Jackie Putnam, excuse me, chair, vice chair of the Gateway PAC. I'd like to go on record that the PAC supports the acquisition of this property. I've been attending PAC meetings for over 6 years, and I can name maybe two attempts at trying to make a purchase of the property. We believe that it will be a valuable asset. It'll bring an urban look to the regional center. And so we're hoping that the City Council will support us in this so that we can finally say bingo to the bingo parlor. Thank you.
Good line. I like
that. She's been waiting all morning to say that.
Good line.
I'm Linda Robinson, and I serve as the Parks Chair for the Hazelwood neighborhood and as the Chair of the Parks Subcommittee for the Gateway Urban Renewal Area. So you don't know how happy I am to be here before you this morning with actual potential purchase this close to being finalized. We've been this route more than once before in the last 8 years where we've not gotten this far, where we've had this property and as a potential purchase and things happened. And this time we have two properties adjacent, which makes it even more inviting. It was a smaller property and the potential was a lot less when we had just the bingo parlor, which used to be a bowling alley property. So I'm just really pleased to support this, to finally get in right in the Gateway, really close to the Gateway area that will be really dense, having a park that we can offer to potential residents and potential employees in that area. And we do appreciate Hazelwood Hydro Park. It's used well, and the community garden's actually functioning now, and so we are pleased that that's happening as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, folks. So then the two issues for the ordinance, one is to have a new appraisal, and the second is to bring it before the council.
Right.
Ben?
The ordinance itself is for the purposes of obtaining two results. One is an IGA with PDC to work with them as a partner in the acquisition of the property, and the second is to approve a form of a purchase agreement to put forward to the sellers. And given the complexity of that arrangement, my suggestion is that it be held over 1 week so that the commissioner's office could prepare a substitute in line with the council's thinking. So that the IGA could proceed for the purposes of getting the PDC involved as an agent in doing the acquisition negotiations, but that it would have to come back before council. So my recommendation is that this be set over for a week to allow the commissioner's office to prepare a substitute in accordance with the council's desires as expressed this morning.
Any discussion?
Might have to be 2 weeks because I won't be here next week. But we'll do that. We'll prepare a subsequent ordinance.
We got your back, Dan. We got your back.
Okay. We'll prepare a subsequent.
2 weeks.
It's his back. He wants to cover it.
You want to cover your own back.
Well, fair enough. It could be 1 week because I trust my colleagues here.
It's gracious. It is very gracious.
By the way, Mayor, I haven't heard Commissioner Leonard this morning defend BOAC.
That's true.
So I wonder if...
Well,
if
as soon as it's assailed, you'll find me at the
So we will prepare. I will take this ordinance back to my office with council permission and then return with the substitute ordinance.
Hearing no objection, it's ordered. It's the last item on the agenda. We're recessed until 2 p.m.
I do. Couldn't be more pleased with BOAC.
Oh.